It's here.
Still on his feet. Left side touchdown.
The wait is over.
Throws it up in traffic and it's intercepted.
High school football begins now. .9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Merritt Store and Grill present the High School Football Game of the Week. All season, join Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell, and Walter Storholt for twice the games on 97.9 FM and streaming live on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Got a man, right sideline, 20, 10, 5, touchdown.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week is presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
Go on his feet, left side, touchdown.
Get ready for all the action, all the excitement, and exclusive coverage you can't find anywhere else. High school football kicks off now. Here's your host, Paul Connell.
Welcome to Orange High School, home of the Panthers. And these Orange Panthers up and up early, 6-0 overall in the season, 2-0 in the newly formed and highly competitive 3A Big 8 football conference. If it is not the toughest football conference in the state of North Carolina, please let me know what is. Outstanding competition. Orange, Southern, Cardinal, Gibbons, Northwood. Then you get down to the second half, believe it or not, and you find Chapel Hill, Webb, no slouch, and then the three teams actually down the bottom looking for upsets every week. Webb, Northern, Vance, and Cedar Ridge. Those are really pretty good teams in their own right. They just have had no luck, and they are certainly not finding any purchase in, here in the newly formed Big 8. Paul Connell here at Orange High School. Welcome to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin at Carrboro High School to watch the that contest there as part of the Merritt Store and Grill Double. But here tonight, it is the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves coming off a drubbing at the hands of the Northwood Chargers that you heard right here on WCHL last week, where once again they were unable to put together 48 minutes of football. It has been 38 to 40 minutes of football for the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves, and those 8 to 10 minutes where they have had those lapses collectively across the contest, it has spelled disaster for them thus far. Special teams have let them down. Offense has occasionally let them down. Defense has had lapses, penalties, and they just simply cannot continue to do that if they would like to keep head coach Chris Casey sane. Spoke with head coach Chris Casey after the game against Northwood, and he was absolutely disappointed in his team's performance. Certainly not in their effort, but in their execution. And, you know, once again, you go back to the woulda, coulda, shouldas. He looked back at a number of key plays, including two fumbled snaps out of six that were to quarterback Peyton Pops' ankles. Those two fumbled snaps that the Northwood Chargers were able to recover, two linemen returning them for 32-yard touchdowns. That's 14 points right there. For the Orange Panthers, it has been one heck of a season thus far, and they are looking forward to continue tonight. Orange, of course, starting off their season against Person, winning that one 40-7, then rolling over Northern 42-15. Then it was on to Riverside, where they took care of Riverside and Durham 38-0. Again, another shutout at Graham, 35-0. Then on to Northwood to open up the Big 8 conference season in 3A, where the Northwood Chargers were really supposed to give this team a tussle. It did not happen. They picked off highly valued, highly vaunted quarterback Ty Penix four times in the first half, jumped out to a 20-7 lead, and really never looked back en route to a 41-21 victory against those Chargers. Chargers have rebounded once again after an off week. They rebounded to throttle Cedar Ridge last week. Northern Vance was the next victim of Orange, 56-0 last week, and now comes Cedar Ridge to see if they can match up here against the Panthers here on the Panthers' home turf. For the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves, Carrboro was their first game, and it was actually a good game. It was the first game for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, and we actually saw Dandy. The final score was 36-19. It was much closer than that, as Jason Tugeren's Jaguars were able to finally stretch that one out in the fourth period, but that was once again when they also had Trey Sharp and they had Marlon Johnson, which they do not have now. Southern Vance up next, a five-point loss for Chris Casey's Red Wolves, and then a three-point loss at East Chapel Hill, where the Red Wolves really had that one in hand and then lost it late. Riverside came hosted the Red Wolves, and they beat them by seven, so 38-31. So you can see how this Red Wolves team really has potential. That is the word that has been used for 2 years about this team, potential. It is time for them to realize it in the eyes of their coaching staff. Then, of course, Cardinal Gibbons 2 weeks ago drubbed the Red Wolves there. Cardinal Gibbons, Northwood, and Orange, of course, and along with Southern in a class by themselves. Cardinal Gibbons racking up 56 points and defeating the Red Wolves 56-28. Northwood again with a basketball score last week, 79-28, as the Walls really fell in on this Red Wolves team in the second half, and now Orange. So again, the Panthers coming in 6-0, the Red Wolves coming in 0-6. This is an upset special if you're looking for it that way. The offense and defensive numbers, they really do tell the story, and we will come back and talk about that when we return in 2 minutes. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, live from Orange High School, as the Panthers ready to take on the Red Wolves. Come on back and join us.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Wade is fishing on a lake and just realized his car insurance bill is due. Should he A, water ski behind a pair of rainbow trout to the nearest post office, or B, pay his bill from Geico's mobile app? The correct answer is B. Paying your bill on Geico's mobile app takes only seconds. A pair of rainbow trout couldn't tow a full-grown man for more than a couple yards. The Geico mobile app is fast, free, and easier to navigate than a couple of fish.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Welcome back to Orange High School. You're in tune to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, presented by AAI Nationwide Insurance. All about insurance. Mark Vitale, we thank him for being our presenting sponsor this year for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Once again, Merritt Store and Grill, the sponsor of our Merritt's Double. If you look online, you'll be able to hear Jeff Hamlin and Walter Storholt with the call from Carrboro High School as the Jaguars on a three-game slide look to get off the schneid there. Both teams almost done warming up and are ready to go back in the locker room for last-minute words. Two outstanding coaches on the sidelines tonight, one in the form of Pat Moser, who was the longtime Orange coach, left for a number of years, came back three seasons ago, and has been able to rebuild this team to the point where this team went four deep into the state playoffs last year, finally losing to eventual champion Haverford in the state semifinals. But this is a team that, believe it or not, is it actually seems like they are better this year. Last year they had a highly valued offense. It was an explosive offense. But their defense let them down on occasion. This year, if it's possible, the defense may be actually better than the offense. And what you also have that works in their favor, especially in 3A, is you don't have too many kids playing both ways. In a lot of the 3A schools, what you find is you've got four or five or six guys, or in Cedar Ridge's case, about eight guys that play both ways at times, and it wears the offense down, especially the interior linemen, and that has certainly aided in some of the troubles suffered by the Red Wolves. So if you're looking at scoring by quarters for Orange and Cedar Ridge, you know, for Orange, they've been slow starters, averaging about 7 points. You know, it's about a touchdown and a quarter. But once they get warmed up, they're averaging 16.2 in the second quarter. As they that offense gets geared up, they come right out in the second half and jump all over you. They're averaging over two scores for you know, each game in the third quarter. And then they've been lucky enough to be able to pull the plug and pull the parachute, actually, in the fourth quarter, and only have about five points in the fourth quarter. So you see there that if you're going to weather the storm here for these Panthers, you have to get on them early, as they only score, again, about less than a touchdown in their first period. But in the middle of the game, when that offense finds its gear, you really need to stay with them. And if you're going to match them, that's when you have to do it, in that second and third period. For the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves, they have been slow starters as well. Early mistakes, you saw it in the game against Northwood. They actually fumbled the opening kickoff, but were able to finally recover themselves and do the job in the second period. But then, of course, Northwood continued to roll over and then was in the second half. Cedar Ridge averaging 12 points in the second quarter, but then their fall off once again has been in the opening moments of not only the game but in the second half. They're 3.5 points in the first and third period, and that just will not get you anywhere. The fourth quarter at 10.5 is a little misleading, because they've been in against some secondary teams and in some blowouts, so that number may be inflated by 3 or 4 points. This is a team that, you know, really has done its best to make use of the assets that it has at its disposal. One of those assets was going to be in their huddle this year and ends up now on the Orange sideline. The backup quarterback last year was Josh Keel. Josh Keel was supposed to be the starting quarterback for the Red Wolves. Chris Casey and this offensive unit looking forward to having him back. Josh Keel practices with the team for a week, goes to Chris Casey and says, you know what? I'm going to go play at Orange because I want to play baseball. So he is the backup quarterback here for Orange, and would certainly be doing the Red Wolves a lot more good on their sideline. But coming in to be the starting quarterback is a sophomore by the name of Peyton Pappas. Peyton Pappas is absolutely the epitome of the coach's son. He makes very few errors. He's all heart, very smart, a heady player, and makes excellent decisions on the field. Sometimes you see his youthful inexperience show up. But Peyton Pappas is 5'9", 135. He is out there. He is all muscle. He is all heart. And he's got a big brain. And he runs the show so very well for these Red Wolves that when you watch them on offense at least 3 or 4 times a game, you get the literal, where in the world did that come from? The offense can be sputtering and stalling and perhaps stuck in the mud, and Peyton Pappas will pull out an audible, he will pull out a sharp pass in the flat, he'll throw downfield, or he'll just take it himself and run, and will turn the fortunes around of this Red Wolves team. And we've seen that in a number of games, but it just hasn't been enough to get them their first victory. When he does go hand it off, you'll see Julius Walton. Julius Walton has been their workhorse back. Walton, again, only 5'7", 155. If they need to hand it off to a fullback, they will give it to Ben Rice. Ben Rice, a junior running back at 6'2", 188. He has the power and the speed, but Ben Rice is also a defensive stalwart and expends so much of his energy and time on defense that his carries have been limited. They did put him in the game at fullback against Carrboro and some other opportunities, and he's performed admirably. But again, you will hear us call his name on defense quite often. When Pappas backs up to throw, he will look for a trio of receivers. That will be Chris McCoy, who is his favorite target at 5'8", 156. He's a junior. A lot of juniors and sophomores here on Chris Casey's team. You're going to see these guys next year as well. Marquez Hunter at 5'8", 142. Not a lot of height again here for this this team. Ben Rice, you may see him catch balls out of the backfield. And then the remainder of the receivers, it's receiving by committee. You'll see Elijah Richardson come out of the slot and Julius Walton come out of the backfield. But again, the ammo is limited for this Red Wolves team, and once again they sit at 0-6. For the Orange Panthers, it's a whole different animal as the quarterback for the Orange Panthers is much ballyhooed in Garrett Clower. And Clower, a 6'3", 205-pound, a 6'3", 205-pound quarterback, junior, and quarterbacks, the colleges rather, licking their chops at watching this guy for the next 2 years as they are trying to determine, who may be interested in him. He has a variety of options. This offense can run, they can throw, they can do the read option. You'll see him run out of the double slot. When they do go for the handoff, it will be Tay Jones, 6 foot, 170-pound junior, doing the damage. Tay Jones has been an outstanding asset, as we saw him run for nearly 160 yards against Northwood. When they need a little more muscle in the backfield, you will see Michael Bolden at 6'1", 250, handle the ball. And just when you're tired enough of Bolden and Clower, it is Drew LeMaster at 5'8", 175. He is absolutely a soda machine out there when he goes in between the tackles. And when Clower is forced to back up and throw, he looks towards Patrick Pettiford, who will come out of the backfield and also be in the slot. Artrell Stewart. You will see Kai Muller grab some balls. It's really an impressive showing. One injury tonight for the Orange Panthers. Joe Piscitelli, who was the leading receiver for the Orange Panthers, 5'10", 145, actually injured his wrist, fractured his wrist. Piscitelli, a senior, fractures his wrist against Northwood and will not play this evening. So that is one less bullet in the gun for Garrett Clower. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk some more about these Panthers and Red Wolves in this matchup tonight on the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Come on back and join us. It's a beautiful night here at Orange High School. If you can't make it out, CHL has the action.
Hello, this is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's that time of year again. Carolina football season, and nobody gets more excited about Carolina football than I do.
Sammy, football and real estate have absolutely nothing in common, although once I had a client who wore shoulder pads.
Well, I suppose in your mind that counts.
And if you wanted to continue down that road, inspections are like first downs and lenders are like referees.
Yada, yada, and closing is like the end zone. I thought we agreed to never actually compare real estate to sports. Why are you saying these things?
Well, we do generally deal with two parties with totally opposing agendas, like two teams. The buyer wants to pay as little as possible and the seller wants as much as they can get.
Yes, but our goal would generally be thought of as a tie. Both parties get what they want and no one looks for that in a football game.
I do get that, Sam. When it comes to buying and selling a house, we all want to come out ahead.
Kit, that is so sweet.
Franklin Street Realty. Buying or selling, why would you call anyone else?
Hello, Tar Heel fans. This is Brian Pop, owner and operator of Landscape Logic. Fall seeding is around the corner. Having a nice lawn is not a product of good luck. It's an absolute science. At Landscape Logic, we are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to be successful and protect your economic and aesthetic investment. Ask about our aftercare programs, weekly maintenance programs, and references in your neighborhood. Visit us online at LandscapeLogicNC.com.
Landscape Logic is the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruiser's and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruiser's has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruiser's, good to go.
About 10 minutes till we get it rolling here at Orange High School. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Paul Connell with a beautiful vantage point here on a beautiful night at Orange High School as the Panthers look to move to 7-0. And their opponent tonight, the winless Red Wolves of Cedar Ridge. Cedar Ridge would like to get off the schneid tonight. They will do their absolute best and try and keep control of this game. And, you know, the thing is with Orange and this this explosive offense that they have, the idea would be, well, if you can just keep the ball out of their hands and grind up some clock and grind up some grass and you know, just see if you can, you know, keep the ball out of the hands of Garrett Clower. You look back last week, though, when Orange thumped the Northern Vance Vikings, jumped out on them 35-0 at the half, added 21 more points in the third quarter, and then pulled the chute and coasted in home to win 56-0. You know, if you look at that game, you'd think, well, maybe Northern Vance really wanted to, you know, try and just didn't get the chance to have the time of possession. You'd be wrong. The Orange Panthers only had the ball for 15 minutes and 51 seconds of offense in that entire game. And in 15:51, they scored 56 points. Northern Vance had the ball 58 minutes and 20 seconds. That's a long, long, long time. So, again, it's how explosive this offense is, and you can't turn it over. And an explosive offense, you don't want to put it back in their hands, but what you really don't want to do is you don't want to give the ball to their defense, and you don't want to put Garrett Clower on the short field. If you put Clower on the short field, he has plenty of targets, he has plenty of weapons at his disposal, and he will find them. Last week, Clower was 11 of 12 passing, 196 yards, and two touchdown passes. So it was a good night for him. His leading receiver, of course, was Kai Muller. You'll hear from him tonight. Four receptions for 106 yards, and he split two apiece to Patrick Pettiford and Drew LeMaster out of the backfield. 56 and 24 yards, respectively. Other receivers catching one apiece, Tay Jones, Marquise Morrow, and Devin Anderson catching balls for 4, 6, and 13, respectively. When they did go to the ground, it was Michael Bolden with three carries and 102 yards. One long touchdown run, two other carries, 102 yards on three carries, pulled the plug. Patrick Pettiford, eight carries on 56 yards. And at this point, we are going to pause for our national anthem.
Remove all headwear and silence your cell phone. Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare of our bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still.
An outstanding national anthem here at Orange High School. That's the way to kick off a high school football game. We are 5.5 minutes from getting this one up and rolling. Team's about to be introduced. We will come back in 1 minute and do the same. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. It's a beautiful night at the Panther Den. If you can't make it out here, kick your feet up. WCHL has all the action.
Basketball and the Big Apple, what more could you want? Well, with the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagrove's Insurance, you'll get that plus much more. How about a trip for two to New York City to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic? There are 38 sponsor locations around town for you to submit an entry to, including Home Watch Caregivers, Kitchen Works, Louise Beck Properties, Mama Dips, and Moe's Bottle Shop. We're drawing finalists from each location every week for the next 4 weeks. You can also become a finalist by calling into the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news every weekday by submitting an entry online at chapelboro.com or on Chapelboro's Facebook page. Remember, you can enter via every entry method in every sponsor location once each week, including PTA Thrift Shop, R&R Grill, 10,000 Villages, and Southern Rail. So make sure you're one of our finalists for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway, presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance.
Welcome back to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. On an absolutely beautiful night here in Durham County. Paul Connell with you, enjoying this action, and a great national anthem. Band is on the field. This is what high school football is all about. And these teams ready to do battle. Again, Chris Casey's Red Wolves coming in at 0-6 and looking to put a mark on the winning side of the ledger there. And what better night to do it than tonight? They were looking for the upset against Northwood. They were only able to stick with them for a half, and then the walls caved in. But they have come back again tonight with some fire in their hearts, hoping to get one on the road. And Chris Casey has all kinds of confidence in his team. He just knows that they have not executed to their potential. And they are hoping to finish that up tonight. When Cedar Ridge, once again, once they go on offense, it will be Peyton Pappas at 5'9", 135, doing his darndest to manage that program and to keep the ball in the hands of the Red Wolves for as long as possible. The Red Wolves, again, coming off that loss to Northwood, 79-28, and it was a disappointing loss at that. As you see the Orange Panthers come onto the field. Orange, once again, led by quarterback Garrett Clower. Clower, when he turns to the backfield, will find Patrick Pettiford, Tay Jones. When they need somebody a little bigger, Michael Bolden and Drew LeMaster handling the fullback duties. Bolden at 6'1", 250, Drew LeMaster at 5'8", 175. When he looks to pass, he will be missing his favorite receiver in Joe Pesatelli. The 5'10", 145 senior is out with a fractured wrist. Artrell Stewart will find some action out on the wing as well. Tay Jones catches the ball out of the backfield nicely. Kai Muller is his favorite, second favorite target from out wide at 6'2", 190. You know exactly why. He's a big target out there, that senior, and plays a little defensive back as well. Also, Bolden and LeMaster not afraid to catch the ball out of the backfield. But again, lots and lots of ammunition available for Garrett Clower. For Cedar Ridge, they have, again, tried to hang tough, but Cedar Ridge has had problems putting points on the board and has problems giving them up. At this point, they have scored 56 points in two conference games. They have given up 135. Of course, last week, 72 to Northwood. So if you were even to take 30 off that, that'd still be an even 100 in two games, and that's not what Coach Chris Casey is looking at. They are actually their points four. They are, out of the eight teams in the league, they are sixth, with only Northern Vance, who has only managed 6 points, and Webb at 52 behind them. As we are ready to kick off and ready to tee it up for the Orange Panthers, that will be Brad Barbie. Barbie, teeing it up from the 40. Goes to Julius Walton, back at the 10, now to the 15, out to the 20, out to the Crochus, the 20-yard line, and pops out to the 25. Outstanding effort by Julius Walton. As Peyton Pappas will come out first and 10. He will come out first and 10 and take control of this Red Wolves offense from the 25. The Red Wolves coming in once again at 0-6. You'll see them run out of the slot. You'll see a single setback. Sometimes nobody will be there for Peyton Pappas. They are in their white uniforms with the Alabama red helmets with the numbers on the side and red numbers. Red piping down the side. For the Panthers, they're in the home orange with the white uniform numbers. Inside handoff goes to Julius Walton. Walton is ahead for 2 yards. And it will bring up second down and eight. And that is the kind of quick hitting handoff offense that you want to see from the Red Wolves. They'd like to get three or four on first down. This time they only get two. If they're going to run it inside with that inside handoff, they want to get inside the tackle. They want to take what they can get. Six in the box now for Peyton Pappas as he looks at that Orange Panthers defense. Calls the audible. Nobody in the backfield with Pappas. He has trips to his right, one in the slot, and a single wide receiver to his left. Pappas looking right, lofts one up, has a man. Pass is complete. Outstanding pass. That's Chris McCoy. McCoy catches that one for, correction, would that look to be, excuse me, that's Matt Murty. And Murty takes the ball from the 27-yard line out to the 48-yard line of the Panthers. So it's a 29-yard pass play for Peyton Pappas. Fakes the inside handoff. Now takes it to Marquez Hunter. Comes from right to left. Hunter unable to get to midfield to even get back to the line of scrimmage. He's going to lose two on that. So Marquez Hunter, his first carry. Marquez Hunter, his first carry, goes for negative 2 yards. And Pappas will come back to the line of scrimmage. No huddle and work from second and 12. But Pappas going to the air quicker than anticipated. It was Julius Walton with a run on first down for 2 yards inside tackle. And then he lined up calling the audible with Orange having seven in the box and throws a beautiful timing route to Matt Murty on the right side for 29 yards. Here's Pappas overthrows his wide receiver, Jonathan Hall. Big, tall wide receiver is Jonathan Hall. Tough to overthrow him. Hall at 6'3", 175. But he managed to do that and throws it over him out of bounds and stops the clock. It'll be third and 12 from the 49-yard line, just shy of midfield for the Red Wolves. 10:29 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Once again, Red Wolves coming in at 0-6, Panthers coming in at 6-0. In the newly minted North Carolina 3A Big 8 Conference. Stepping up in the pockets, here comes Pappas to midfield. Finds a man, Marquez Hunter. Marquez Hunter at the 30, has a little running room. He'll go down at the 28-yard line. Outstanding play by Peyton Pappas as he hits Marquez Hunter for a 23-yard gain. And Marquez Hunter, wide open, found a seam on the left hash mark, and he was finally brought down by a host of defenders in the secondary for the Orange Panthers. Red Wolves on the run. Julius Walton mistimes the snap. They will call him for illegal procedure. It will back the Red Wolves up five, and that is just not what the Red Wolves needed. Interesting that Julius Walton, if he had decided to keep going, he took two steps forward. If he had just turned to his left and gone in motion, he'd have been okay. But he took two steps, stopped, and looked at the referee, and the referee said, well, you're really not giving me much of a choice here. I've got to call illegal procedure. So 10 minutes remaining to play here in the first quarter. Red Wolves on a roll. First penalty of the game. First and 15 now. From the 33-yard line, Pappas in trouble, steps to his right, escapes one tackler, and then, oh, bringing him down with a great second effort there for the linebacking core for Orange. That will be Drew LeMaster. Linebacker comes in from his tight spot, breaks through the line, and is able to grab the ankle of Peyton Pappas. That will be a loss of nine. It'll be a loss of nine for Peyton Pappas. Pappas now back, throwing to his left, has a man down the middle, and both receivers, Julius Walton and Jonathan Hall, they both stop their routes about 15 yards out, and Pappas throws it over their head. It'll bring up now third down, and quite a ways, it brings up third down and 22. So Pappas now looking for the waggling of signals over to the Cedar Ridge sideline. Once again, Cedar Ridge started off hot. Two passes. One went to Murty. One goes to Marquez Hunter. Good for 50 yards total, and it brought them into the Orange Panthers' side of the field. Here's Peyton Pappas doing what he does. Scrambling, throws left, has a man, Chris McCoy. McCoy turns around, was trying to catch that ball, and got tangled up with J.D. Brooks and Colin Pope back there in the defensive backfield. No flag as the ball was deemed uncatchable. But, wow, that was mighty close to interference, although unintentional, as McCoy was back there and had an opportunity to catch that one. If he'd have gotten loose, it would have been a touchdown for the Red Wolves, put him up 6-0. But as it is at the 9:06 mark, here is Orange back to receive. J.D. Brooks catches it at the 15, bringing it up to the 20, now 25, to the 27-yard line. Knocked out of bounds, and there are flags down on the play. As we remember from the Northwood game against Orange, J.D. Brooks, not a guy you want to kick to directly. He really has that second gear. Once he catches the ball, finds that second gear, he can blow right past you. He blew past the first two men down on coverage, and the Red Wolves were lucky to push him out at the 27-yard line. 8:57 remaining to play here in the first quarter. The Red Wolves have given it up on downs after two excellent passes from Peyton Pappas of 22 and 30 yards. Two passes to Peyton Pappas. Once again, he hit Matt Murty, and he was able to hit Marquez Hunter. Murty's pass went for 22 yards, and then he had a pass for 30 yards that went to Marquez Hunter. And then Pappas was harassed in the backfield, took a 9-yard sack, and then threw two away after a 5-yard penalty was assessed to Julius Walton for a legal procedure. Waiting for the official word from the referee here on the actual penalty. It is going to be a push in the back during the return on Orange, and then it'll be a face mask against the Red Wolves. We're going to figure out what the aggregate is here, as both of these penalties will be marked from the spot. They will mark the one on the offense first, and then they will push back. And they're actually going to call these, even though they are not equal, they are going to call these as offsetting, so they'll both decline. They make it 1st and 10, and we're right back where we started. So let's set the field for you again. 8:57 remaining to play here in the first quarter. That last 2 minutes meant absolutely nothing to us. And the ball will be on the 19-yard line, as Gary Clower comes out of the double slot. Single setback, Flamaster. Handoff goes to Tay Jones. Jones finds the edge on the left side, puts the ball on the floor. Red Wolves think they have it. It is indeed recovered by the Red Wolves. That is the turnover that Chris Casey's team has been looking for all season. They have all too often been the victim, but it's Dante Scott, the defensive back, coming up, the sophomore, getting the fumble recovery along with the hit, as Tay Jones turns it over, and the Red Wolves have had good fortune here, as Tay Jones has a fumble after a 6-yard gain, and the Red Wolves have the ball on the Panthers' 25-yard line. Trips to the right, two receivers to the left for Peyton Pappas. Six in the box, they bring back the blitz. Pappas takes it himself. He'll get back to the line of scrimmage and gain maybe one if it's a friendly mark. And I'll tell you, that's the mark of Peyton Pappas maturing, because in the two previous games where we've seen him get in trouble, he has wheeled, turned, and run toward the sidelines and given up 5 to 7 yards. That time, Pappas saw the rush coming. He saw them pull back the blitz, and instead of trying to make something more than it was, he tucked it under, gets 1 yard, lives to fight another day. The clock continues to run at 8:15 in the first quarter with the score nothing-nothing. But instead of 2nd and 15, Pappas now facing 7 and 9. Brings up trip to the right. Here comes the blitz. Here it comes on the right side. Pappas, timing route. And there's somebody with a handful of jersey on Julius Walton, as Walton with a hook and go inside the left hash mark. And it was absolutely, Walton was absolutely held on that one. The guilty party is going to be Brandon Van Hook. The linebacker was guarding Julius Walton, and Van Hook will be the guilty party there. It will be pass interference, and that is just what Peyton Pappas was looking for. He had a little pump there as he saw Julius Walton get free about 10 yards down the line of scrimmage, and on his pump, Walton just kicked it into gear and headed for the end zone. Van Hook really had no choice. He just reached out and grabbed him, and it will be 10 yards, the penalty will. Actually, since the penalty was marked off inside the 20-yard line, it'll be half the distance to the goal, and it puts the ball at the 13-yard line, where it will be first and 10 for the Red Wolves at the 13. Get a first down at the 3. Here's Pappas enjoying good fortune. 8 minutes left in this one. Clock is stopped. Pappas now calls his second audible. Looks at the 6 in the box and the potential blitz coming for the Panthers. And the Panther jumps off sides. Offensive line for the Red Wolves never moves. And they are indeed going to call encroachment against the Panthers. They will mark them off 5 more. And it brings up now first down and 5 for the Red Wolves. About the 7-yard line. Once again, they can get a first down at the 2 or 3-yard line. But Pappas now. This is where the Red Wolves need to finish. 8 minutes remaining in the first. Pappas steps back, 2 steps out of the shotgun, rolling to his left, looking for a man, can't do anything about it, takes it himself, tucks it under, and gets close to the 5-yard line, over the 5, rumbles ahead. They're going to mark him down at just around the 3-yard line. It'll be close to a first down. We'll have to see if they decide to measure. But Peyton Pappas, he is quick, he is wily, and when he is in trouble, he does not hesitate to tuck it under and run. It is going to be very, very close here as the Red Wolves call timeout. Red Wolves take a timeout. They're on a roll. We're going to take it with them. They're going to take a 30-second timeout. 7:31 remaining to play here at Orange High School. The Panthers are reeling. Red Wolves rolling down inside the 10. See if they can punch it in when we come back.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
You're listening to High School Football on 97.9 FM WCHL. Follow your area teams all season long on your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
.7:31 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Peyton Pappas, snap, take it himself, runs up the right side. All 140 pounds of Peyton Pappas into the end zone, and the Red Wolves are on the board and on top for the first time in a while. 7:25, mark your calendars. The Red Wolves may have turned the corner. This is the kind of first period Chris Casey has been looking from this team for the entire season. They haven't seen this kind of effort and this kind of success since the opener against Carrboro. Peyton Pappas, with an outstanding management of this drive, the beneficiary of a turnover as Tay Jones fumbles the ball on the first play from scrimmage for Orange. They get the ball at the 35, and 8 plays later, Peyton Pappas engineers a drive and goes over from 3 yards for a 3-yard touchdown score at 7:25, and Pappas has taken the Red Wolves up 7-0 on the undefeated Orange Panthers. Back in 30 seconds, you're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal. Brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
Peyton Pappas over from 3 yards as the Red Wolves of Cedar Ridge in unfamiliar territory up early 7-0, and especially against these Orange Panthers at the 7:25 mark of the first period. Red Wolves up 7-0. Ready to tee it up now for the Red Wolves back at the 40-yard line. Will be Brandon Ferris. Ferris should know not to kick this one to the deep man. He does not. Kicks it to the up man at the 33-yard line. And taking care of this one will be Michael Bolden, who can do a little running, and Bolden actually had a little room. He decided to just put his arm up and give them good field position here at the 34. So, Orange takes possession at the 34-yard line. First and 10, and Garrett Clower will come out and see if he can shake off the stink of that first drive, which only went one play. Handoff went to Tay Jones. 7-yard carry, 6-yard gain, and a fumble. Handoff goes right side. Here's Patrick Pettiford. Pettiford inside the tackle. He will gain, we're going to give him about 4, and brings up 2nd down and 6. So a 4-yard gain for Patrick Pettiford. And again, 2nd down and 6. 7:09 remaining to play here in the first quarter at Orange High School. There is a player down for the Red Wolves, and they can ill afford to have any player injured. But Patrick Pettiford, you will see him get a number of carries out of the backfield tonight. Tay Jones has been a bit of a workhorse for the Panthers, but last year, if you'll remember, Patrick Pettiford got quite a few handoffs out of the backfield and coming out of the slot for the Orange Panthers. And the one thing about Patrick Pettiford, if you let him get past the line of scrimmage, if you rely on your linebackers to tackle Patrick Pettiford, he can downshift into second gear faster than almost anybody in the conference, and he will find the hole, and you will be looking at that big number 2 on his back as he dances down the field into the end zone. He can go fast, he can go hard, and he can leave you in the dust in a big hurry. So Pettiford leads off at first and 10 from the 34-yard line. He picks up 4 to the 38 and brings up 2nd down and 10 now for Garrett Clower. Second play from scrimmage for the Orange Panthers, again, on their own 34-yard line. Red Wolves up 7-0. Take the handoff straight ahead. Little crossbuck goes to Tay Jones. He's off left tackle. He's across midfield to the 45 and down to the 43-yard line. So it's a gain of 20 yards. Big gain, 20 yards for Tay Jones as he shakes off his earlier carry and runs for 20 yards for a first down. 6:44 remaining to play here in the first period, and this Orange offense is back on the mark. First down for the Panthers. Once again, 6:33, and the clock continues to tick. 7-0 Red Wolves. Panthers looking to answer. Here's Pettiford in motion, takes the pitch, right side, finds the edge, he's got it, turns the corner, 10, 15, 20. Second gear, now to third. Shifts down to the 20-yard line. He will be on the 20-yard line, and he rips off a gain of 22. Patrick Pettiford with a gain of 22 yards on just his second carry. 2 carries for 26 yards for Pettiford here in the first quarter, and he has really shown that, again, he can find that second gear, and he can get you in trouble. 7-0 in favor of the Red Wolves, but now they have their back in the shadow of the goalpost as Garrett Clower has not had to pass yet. He has gone one time for 20 yards to Tay Jones left, and he's gone to Patrick Pettiford for 20 yards right. Here's the pitch, left side, Pettiford. He finds the edge. Chris McCoy there to try and turn him around. McCoy able to make the hit at the 15. Pettiford pushes ahead to the 10-yard line. They will mark him actually right on the 10. It'll be a 10-yard gain for Patrick Pettiford. This time he goes left. And once again, close to a first down for the Panthers. They're going to give him, they're just going to give him 9 on that. So they're giving him 9 yards. It'll bring up the 2nd down and literally a foot and a half. 5:25 here at Orange High School. Panthers, big crowd here to watch the 6-0 Panthers take on the 0-6 Red Wolves. But it's the Red Wolves that drew first blood at the 7:25 mark. Patrick Pettiford in from three, or rather, Peyton Pappas in from 3 yards. Here's Pettiford. Goes from the 10 to the 6 yard line. Gain of 4, enough for the first down. Brings up second down. That'll bring up first down and goal as the second down run of 4 yards. Good enough for the first down inside the 10 to the 6. And the Panthers are threatening. Once again, a 4 yard run from Pettiford up the right side. And now it's the Red Wolves that need to dig in here. Red Wolves only with 4 in the box. Now they bring up a 5th. Linebacking core is close. Threatening blitz. Flower has not had to throw yet. Takes the outside handoff. Slipping in the backfield was Tay Jones. Jones took a quick outside handoff. Tried for the left end. And as he tried to cut it back up under the tackle, he loses 1 yard, goes down to the backfield. It will make it second down and goal from the 7. 7-0 in favor of the Red Wolves. 4:15 and ticking here in the first quarter. Clower comes under center. He has Pettiford, slot left, facing him. Two receivers to the left side. That's Jeffrey Campbell and Tay Jones. It's a timeout on the field as the Orange Panthers want to make sure that they don't waste this one. 4:04 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Going to take a quick break when we come back. Going to see what kind of steal this Red Wolves defense has them. Inside the 10-yard line at the 7, first, second and goal for the Orange Panthers. Come on back and see what happens.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Flower under center coming out of the timeout by the Panthers. Second and goal from the 7. Pettiford in motion. He'll take the pitch. Right side, looking for the edge. Has the 5, looking for the goal line. Looks for the pylon, and he has it. Patrick Pettiford, some determined running. Out there trying to make the defensive stop for Cedar Ridge was DJ Cornelius, the 5'10", 175-pound linebacker, and he was outmatched as Patrick Pettiford put 192 pounds to the left shoulder, and Pettiford goes in from 7 yards, a 7-yard carry for the touchdown at 3:58. On to attempt the extra point. Barbie, and it is good. Would have been good from 30, and we got one locked here at 7 apiece. 3:58 remaining to play here in the first quarter. The Panthers have answered right back as they come from their own 27-yard line. And just 4 minutes later, on the strength of running of Patrick Pettiford. Pettiford with runs of 4, 22, 24, and 7 yards. Does an outstanding job. Tay Jones in there with a 20-yard run as well. But Pettiford over from 7 yards, just under 4 minutes remaining to play, and we are locked at 7. Now here's where the Red Wolves have had their problems. They've been able to take that first punch from almost every team. Comes to their second opportunity to drive. That's where they have fallen short. Penalties, miscues, and inability to execute has unfortunately been the calling card of the Red Wolves thus far this season. So at 3:58, we're going to see if they can turn a corner. Here's Barbie with a kick. It'll be fielded at the 2-yard line by Julius Walton. Walton to the 5, now the 10, middle of the field. Going to keep him in the middle field. He'll burst right up to the 20-yard line, bounce to the 23-yard line, and Julius Walton will bring it back to the 23-yard line. And Peyton Pappas will bring this Red Wolves offense out to see if they can take another swipe at adversity and stay on top of these Panthers, who really have not had an answer for Pappas' mobility and his versatility in this quarterback slot. Pappas with 3 receivers to the right-hand side. Marquez Hunter, McCoy, and Murty. two to the left. He looks left, tucks it under, rolling to his left, under pressure, in trouble, going to keep it himself. He will take a gain of 3 yards and then step out of bounds. And once again, here's Pettiford, rushes for 3 yards instead of getting sacked for 8. Second down and 7, and Peyton Pappas doing a nice job of managing the game. The only bad thing about that is the clock stops. You know that the Red Wolves would like to keep this thing moving if at all possible, but Peyton Pappas has yet to learn the old quarterback slide. Steps out of bounds, and 7 all at 3:43. Pappas brings him to the line with a single setback in the pistol on 2nd and 7. Does not go the handoff. He's going to complete the pass out right side to McCoy. The screen pass is outside of the 25-yard line, which was the line of scrimmage. It will pick up, well, we'll call it a charitable 2, and it's going to bring up 3rd down and 5. Pappas there. Look to the left to hand off the pistol to Julius Walton. Walton stayed in to block, and he threw the quick screen pass out to Chris McCoy. McCoy, half-decent receiver, was able to pick up 3 yards on that. It's a 3-yard pass to McCoy, and it brings up 3rd down and 5. Out of the pistol once again, Pappas. Julius Walton, a single setback. Long, hard count. Straight drop. 2 more. Going to take it himself. Now he's in trouble, and he will go down. Pitches it to Julius Walton. There was a quick whistle, and actually it was an inadvertent quick whistle by the official. As soon as Pappas was in the grasp, they actually whistled him. And Pappas was through the left-hand pitch to Julius Walton. It works out well for the Red Wolves because he lost about 6 more yards. But Pappas, the beneficiary there, and you know that he's going to go over the sidelines. Chris Casey's going to go, look, son, I appreciate your creativity, but don't do that again. Pappas caught for a 5-yard loss. Actually, excuse me, Pappas caught for a 10-yard loss on that play. 10 yards for the sack, and on to punt will be Ferris, and Ferris will bring this one out to midfield, where it will be a friendly roll from Ferris at the 45, and it'll be downed by the Panthers at the 49-yard line. And now here's the problem that the Red Wolves have faced. Once again, they are unable to mount a second offensive on a counter, and they have given the opposition the ball on the short field, just 51 yards from the goal, this high-powered offense of Garrett Clower. As Clower now will take possession on the 49-yard line with 2:15 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Clower now, first time out of the double slot. Tay Jones and Clower going to pass for the first time. Backs up to his own 42, has a man down the field. Tay Jones, complete at the 10. He's beating the defender, and he's going to roll in. A 51-yard touchdown pass, a 51-yard touchdown pass for Garrett Clower in his first passing attempt of the night. He finds Tay Jones 15 yards from pay dirt. Tay Jones had gotten a step on the defensive back, Elijah Richardson, and Richardson, only at 5'6", really had no opportunity to go up against Tay Jones. He tried to strip him once he brought it in, was unsuccessful, and Barbie's kick is good, and the score is 14-7. And just like that, lightning has struck here with the Panthers, giving the Red Wolves a dose of the, well, what has kind of affected them all year, the inability to counter and then giving up the big play, one play, 51 yards, touchdown. They're down 14-7. The Panthers' offense can strike just like that. 2:06 remaining to play here in the first quarter. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. On a beautiful night, after plenty of rain soaked this field in Hillsboro, the Orange Panthers have jumped back on top, 14-7. If you just joined, it was the Red Wolves taking advantage of a Tay Jones fumble deep in Panthers territory and going 35 yards in 8 plays. Peyton Pappas running it in from 3 yards to give him the early advantage, 7-0. But it's been all Panthers after that, as Garrett Clower, on the strength of the running of Tay Jones and Patrick Pettiford, engineered that first drive to lock it at 7. And then on his first pass from scrimmage on their third offensive possession, he backs up and tosses one 51 yards to a wide-open Tay Jones, who was single-covered, had a step, on Elijah Richardson. He takes it the other 15. Good for a 51-yard touchdown pass to put the Panthers up 14-7 at 2:06.
First and 10
for the Red Wolves. Fake the inside handoff. Go a little crossbook straight up the middle to Julius Walton. Walton straight ahead for 5 yards. Walton's gain of 5, and again, back to the quick hitter now. Back to the quick hitter for the Red Wolves as Julius Walton ahead for 5 yards. And it brings up second down, and well, going to give him 4. Going to call it second down and 6 for the Red Wolves. That's the kind of quick hitter offense that the Red Wolves will have to rely on. And once again, fake the inside handoff this time to Matt Murty. And it goes straight ahead to Julius Walton. That one a little slow in developing, didn't hit the hole quite quick enough. An outstanding penetration in the middle of the defensive unit there for Orange. As getting the defensive penetration was Byron Stephenson. 6'3", 260 pounds of Stephenson. Stops Walton at the line of scrimmage and keeps him at 3rd and 6. Walton in the pistol to the right of Peyton Pappas. Pappas going to scramble, rolling to his right. Has a man downfield, throws up a jump ball, and it's going to be picked off. A one-handed interception by A.J. Bradshaw. Bradshaw goes up and swipes it out of the air with one hand. But I'll tell you, there was some hand fighting going on down there at the 45-yard line. Both of those guys pushing and shoving. Referee just kind of let it go. Now we see a flag on the field. But A.J. Bradshaw goes up and takes that with a one-handed rebound. Looked like he swiped it off the glass playing in the upper school gym. Illegal man downfield for the Red Wolves. That penalty is declined, and it will be an interception thrown by Peyton Pappas. Ill-advised throw. He was scrambling, went to his right instead of tucking it under and perhaps getting the 6 yards he needed. He threw a jump ball up to Marquez Hunter. Hunter back there being faced by A.J. Bradshaw. Bradshaw at 5'11", skies up, grabs this one with one hand, and brings it back 22 yards. Finally coming to rest here at the 34-yard line. So an interception here brings the ball back to the 34-yard line of the Red Wolves. Clower with the ball in the short field once again. Pitch, left side, here's Tay Jones. Finds the corner to 30, now the 25-20. Cuts back it inside to the 20, to the 15-yard line. And finally brought down inside the 15. They're going to mark him at the 14. It is a big gain of, looks like 22 yards. 22-yard carry for Tay Jones. He's had 22-yard carry for Tay Jones, as he has had two good carries of over 20 yards. One on the first drive, and now here, Tay Jones taking up the middle, off tackle, left side, busting in from the 14-yard line. He'll have a first down at the 1, so Tay Jones with a 13-yard carry there. And Jones with 3 carries of over 10 yards, 2 over 20, and on just 4 carries, Tay Jones has 53 yards. Going to let the first quarter expire here. Garrett Clower will. And at the end of the first quarter, Red Wolves trying to hang in there at 14-7, but the Panthers on the prowl. Going to take a quick break here at the end of the first quarter. It's Panthers 14, Red Wolves 7. Panthers just a yard from pay dirt. 14-7 Panthers. Come on back, see if they can punch it in.
Hello, Tar Heel fans. This is Brian Pop, owner and operator of Landscape Logic. Fall seeding is around the corner. Having a nice lawn is not a product of good luck. It's an absolute science. At Landscape Logic, we are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to be successful and protect your economic and aesthetic investment. Ask about our aftercare programs, weekly maintenance programs, and references in your neighborhood. Visit us online at LandscapeLogicNC.com.
Landscape Logic is the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Back to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. You're right on time. First and goal. Fake pitch to Pettiford. Straight up the middle for the big man, Michael Bolden. Bolden rolls in from 2 yards. 6'1", 250 pounds of junior running back Michael Bolden. A 2-yard touchdown run. And just like that, the Panthers go from 7 down to 3 quick scores and up 20-7. Brad Barbie will be on, the lefty, to try the extra point. He's been rock solid thus far. Good snap, good hold. Gets a little bit under this one, and it is no good. No good. He pushes it off to the left side. Score stays at 20-7. We're 3 seconds into the second frame, and the Red Wolves will need to find a counterpunch here. 20-7, in case you just joined us, on the first series for the Panthers. It was Tay Jones running 6 yards and then fumbling inside his own 30-yard line at the 27. Peyton Pappas then led the Red Wolves on a 8-play, 27-yard drive that ended with him on a naked bootleg inside the right tackle, going over from 3 yards to put the Red Wolves up 7-0. Panthers then were able to answer, rolling 65 yards on outstanding running by Pettiford and Tay Jones, who ran with anger, to tie it up at 7. And then two more touchdowns now after ineffective offense by the Red Wolves have made the score 20-7 as Brett Barbie has just pushed the third extra point of his night wide to keep the score at 20-7. This kick from Barbie will go into the end zone. Julius Walton will allow it to do so. And the Red Wolves will take possession at their own 20-yard line. 11:57 remaining to play here in the second quarter. 20-7. In favor of the Panthers. Single setback. Julius Walton will take the inside handoff, go right over center, pushes ahead, and Walton with some excellent second effort there. Instead of just getting to the line of scrimmage, he pushes ahead for about 3. So gain of 3 for Julius Walton to start the second quarter. And Walton, he had 4 runs of 7 yards total in the first quarter. Did a lot of blocking, hoping he could be more effective here in the second quarter. Ben Rice now into the game, the big fullback. You knew you were going to see this. Stays in the block, throwing out into the flat, and picked off is Peyton Pappas. Pappas picked off, left side, Bryce Wilson. Bryce Wilson, the 6'1" sophomore, steps into the pattern and intercepts this ball out in the flat. Peyton Pappas did not look off the receiver, and Bryce Wilson steps up into the pattern, intercepts the ball, as Peyton Pappas intercepted for the second time tonight, intercepted once in the first quarter, and now in the second, and again, the Red Wolves' mistake gives these Panthers the ball deep in their territory on a short field. It'll be first and 10, just outside the 10-yard line. And Garrett Clower will go to work out of the double slot. Pettiford in motion, fake the pitch to him. Clower going to keep it himself, still on his feet and in the end zone. Clower with an 11-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage puts the Panthers up 26-7 at the 11:04 mark, and this has been the hallmark of the Red Wolves season. One mistake turns into two. The walls start to collapse around them, and they're just unable to shore it back up. And what was a 7-0 lead has gone 26 unanswered for the Panthers to make the score 26-7. Here's Barbie, the chance to redeem himself on the extra point. This one splits the uprights and makes it 27-7. So at the 11:04 mark of the second quarter, Red Wolves have taken a bit of a slide after going up 7-0. They've given up 27 unanswered to the 6-0 Panthers. It'll be 27-7 when we return to Durham.
There's nothing better than the refreshing taste of a Cruiser's ice-cold fountain drink. I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. At Cruiser's, we use 100% filtered water for the highest quality fountain drinks and serve them at an ice-cold 34 degrees for only 79 cents. So grab your favorite drink with their chewy ice and add a flavor shot like cherry or lemon lime at most Cruiser's locations. You'll taste the difference. We guarantee it.
Cruiser's. Good to go.
Coming back, Red Wolves take the kickoff. Marquez Hunter at the 6, turns the corner at the 10, up to the 15, now the 20. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 27-yard line. Marquez Hunter able to give the Red Wolves offense a little bit of breathing room as Peyton Pappas comes back onto the field, and it's been a very short rest for Peyton Pappas as on his second play from scrimmage on that last series, he threw out into the flat intended for Marquez Hunter, and the ball was picked off by Bryce Wilson, who brought it back to the 11-yard line, and one play later, it was Garrett Clower in from 11 yards for the touchdown to make it 27-7. Handoff now goes to Julius Walton. He's up to the 30-yard line, one more yard than that. It will bring up second down and 5, and that's the kind of first down play that the Red Wolves are looking for, a 5-yard run on first down for Julius Walton. Walton now, single setback in the pistol to Peyton Pappas' right side. 7 in the box for the Panthers as they want to make Pappas hurt him in the air. Julius Walton straight up the middle. He's going to get about 3. Bring up third down and 2. I'll tell you, it's a terrific job there of driving back the center. Outstanding job of driving back the center of the defense there. James Fowler for the Red Wolves really dug in. And Fowler, at 190 pounds, was actually able to drive back the nose guard, Jake Frederick, at 305. As Julius Walton able to take advantage of that and gain 3 yards. Here's Pappas taking a look at 6 in the box and a potential blitz from the outside. Calling an audible. Handoff straight ahead, Julius Walton. He's got plenty of running room. He's across the 40 to the 44-yard line. Great audible by Pappas. Saw the hole. Bring it to the right side in between the center and the guard. And it's an outstanding run of 9 yards for Julius Walton. Walton with 9 yards and a first down brings the ball to the 43-yard line. First and 10. Pappas taking his time now. 9:10. Clock still runs. 27-7 in favor of the Panthers. Red Wolves up 7-0, and the Panthers have knocked 27. Put it on the board. Here's Marquez Hunter looking for the left edge. In motion, takes the pitch. He finds the edge. He'll get over the 45. And Marquez Hunter made a lot more out of that than anybody anticipated. It'll be a gain of 4 for Marquez Hunter. Hunter will pick up 4 yards on the pitch. Bring up second down and 6. Again, these are the kind of first down runs the Wolves want. They'd like to keep some time of possession. They'd like to pass down the field when they can. Last two possessions, when Pappas has gone to the air, he has been picked off. One, an ill-advised throw down the middle of the field to Marquez Hunter, and the second time he's trying to go to Hunter in the flat, Bryce Wilson stepped in front. Pappas calling the audible once again. Pappas, only a sophomore, And they're going to call it delay of game as Pappas took a little too much time. Too much time for that play to get in. And then a young quarterback, he has to realize that if you're going to audible, you have to have more than 10 seconds on the play clock if you're going to get your players set. Took a little too much time there. Going to back him up the 5 yards, the 4 yards they gained plus one. It'll bring up second down and 11. Clock continues to run. We're at the 8 minute mark of the first half. And Peyton Pappas will lead his troops back up to the line. Out of the pistol, Julius Walton behind him and to the right. Pappas has him shift to the left now, to the short side of the field. Trips to the right. Pappas looks right. Takes it himself. He's in a lot of trouble now. Pappas had designs on running that one himself right from the time he caught it. He's going to lose another 5 yards, and it'll bring up third down and 16. 7:30 remaining to play here in the second quarter. 27-7 in favor of the Panthers. Red Wolves with mistakes backing up once again. Had a nice 4 yard run from Julius Walton, who on two carries got them their first down of the second quarter just moments ago. And then Peyton Pappas.
Third down and 16 for the Red Wolves.
On now third and 16 after a 5 yard delay a game penalty and 5 yard sack. Here's Marquez Hunter. Screen pass. Get back almost to the original line of scrimmage. Be a gain of, we'll call it six. Going to bring up fourth down and 10, but there is a flag on the play. Flag on the play. It is a block in the back on that screen pass as Marquez Hunter was able to catch that ball. Marquez Hunter caught that ball and went 6 yards on the pass play. So Peyton Pappas' screen pass, good for 6 yards. And it does bring out fourth down and 10. And you have to think, if you're Chris Casey, you got the ball near midfield, you'd think about going for this on fourth and 10, but he is not. He's going to bring in Brandon Ferris. Ferris will be back at his 30-yard line. 10 men up. As this one nearly blocked, high kick headed for J.D. Brooks. Brooks at the 25, dances around at the 22, gets away from this one wisely. Marquez Hunter down there to put a hand on it, and it will be down at the, call it the 23-yard line, first and 10 for the Panthers as they are able to quell the initial rally by the Red Wolves. And let them go four and out after one first down on two carries by Julius Walton. 6:40 remaining to play here in the first half. WCHL High School Football Game of the Week coming to you from Orange High School. On a beautiful night in Hillsboro. Absolutely gorgeous night. After 2 days of rain, the field is in beautiful condition. And in the 50th season of Orange High School Football, the Panthers 6-0 looking for win number 7 and up 27-7 tonight against the 0-6 Red Wolves. Red Wolves now with five in the box, three linebackers. Little slant pattern. This one good. Clower throws himself a dart. It's good for 10 and more. It's going to be a completion good for 22 yards. 22-yard completion. This time it's for Kai Muller. Muller, who got the scoring started in the back of the end zone against, got the scoring started against Northwood. With a 13-yard touchdown reception, it's a 22-yard pass completion by Clower to get him rolling in the second quarter. Ball on the 45-yard line now. As Muller catches his first pass of the game. First and 10 at the 45. Clock runs at 6:09. Tay Jones, left side, finds the edge. Good for 5, close to 10. Ball is loose on the field. Second time Tay Jones has put it on the turf. Tay Jones went 8 yards on that play. The ball only went 6. Nice play there by Jeffrey Campbell to come in from his receiver spot and fall on that ball, as Tay Jones would have been running some hills on Monday. He puts that one on the turf twice. So it's a 6-yard gain for Tay Jones. His first carry of the second quarter. Had a busy first quarter after fumbling his first carry. He was able to make up for that. Him and he and Patrick Pettiford doing the work on the ground. Under center, Clower. Hands off to Pettiford, Pettiford, first down and more. Now some scrappiness on the field as Pettiford gets up, takes umbrage at the player who tackled him. It's going to be a gain of 8 yards for Pettiford, but there is a flag on the play. 5:10 remaining to play. It'll be a personal foul, face mask, against the Red Wolves. Second face mask against the Red Wolves. It will be marked off 15 from the spot of the foul. Spot of foul was the end of the run, so Pettiford will get 8 yards on that carry. And then the men in stripes will tack 15 onto that. And once again, Red Wolves playing on the short field. Panthers with the ball on the Red Wolves' 27-yard line. As this offensive unit continues to roll, and they continue to roll on the ground, Clover has really not had to put the ball in the air. Fakes the handoff to the up man. Goes to Pettiford. Left side. Over tackle. Plenty of running room. Finds that second gear. Over 10 to the 5. It's going to be marked just outside the 5 at the 6-yard line. Patrick Pettiford with a big run there. Goes from the 27-yard line all the way to the 6. Picks up 21 yards. And another Orange first down. It'll be first and goal from the 6-yard line as this Red Wolves defense reeling. Fake of the handoff went to Michael Bolden. Bolden at 6'1", 250, then cleared out two defenders who came through with early penetration. Pettiford just waltzed through the hole for a 21-yard gain. Quick slant. Complete. Clower. Touchdown. Finds Artrell Stewart with a quick 6-yard slant. So a 6-yard touchdown pass from Clower here in the second quarter. And it's all of a sudden 33-7 as Artrell Stewart collects a touchdown pass. His first reception of the game is a 6-yard TD, and it's 33-7 with 4:13 remaining to play here in the half. Barbie's kick, good snap, good hold, splits the uprights, make it 34-7. With the Red Wolves reeling and about to get the ball back at 4:13 remaining to play in the second quarter, we're going to take a quick break. The score is 34-7. The Orange Panthers, 6-0. You certainly don't wonder why. You've seen that opportunistic defense and this lightning quick offense. Come on back.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Thanks for coming back. You're right on time. Marquez Hunter catches the ball at the 12, marches up to the 12, where he is met by a host of covering tacklers for the Orange Panthers, dropping him forward momentum to the 21. And Peyton Pappas will come on back and will try and make this a 20-point deficit if he can put 7 on the board here in the last 4 minutes of the second quarter. Pappas will start from his 21. Plagued by turnovers, 2 out of the last 3 drives. Pappas fakes the inside handoff. A little crossbuck intended for Matt Murty. Fake to Murty. Straight off handoff goes to Julius Walton as he's the second man through. Walton picks up 2 yards. There to make the tackle was Mark Holt. We got some beef on the interior here for Orange. Mark Holt at 5'6", 215. That's a snack machine. 34-7. Panthers up. Peyton Pappas like to put one on the board. Bring coach Chris Casey's Red Wolves in on a high note. Handoff goes Walton. Off right tackle. He's going to get to the 25-yard line and not much more than that. It'll be 3rd and 7 when Pappas comes back to the shotgun once again. Pappas once again been intercepted twice. When he's been able to find the time, he's been fairly effective. He's actually been more effective throwing the ball down the field than he has out into the flat, where he was picked off by Bryce Wilson two series ago. Pappas now all alone in the backfield, trips to the left, low snap, rolling to his right, and Pappas is going to be swarmed under there. Mark Holt makes the tackle, Julius Walton in the previous, and then gets the sack there, as that will be a huge loss. It's going to be a loss of 10 yards on the sack. Sack of Pappas brings up fourth down. Brandon Ferris will have to come in and pump this one away. Low snap back at his end zone. This one close to being blocked, and they run in to Brad Ferris. They run in to Ferris. There's going to be a double penalty. J.D. Brooks is going to catch the ball at the 45-yard line. He's going to waltz into the end zone, but there are multiple flags on the play as Chris McCoy came down to make the tackle on J.D. Brooks, and he was absolutely clobbered from the backside. But there's going to be multiple penalties here against the Orange Panthers. Bryce Wilson drilled the kicker. So it's going to be a 15-yard roughing the a major roughing the kicker penalty. This is not just running into the kicker. And then they're going to have a clip on the return. So we're going to see where they mark this one off. There are multiple penalties against the Panthers. And Mike turned fourth down and 18 into another opportunity for this Red Wolves offense. 1:53 remaining. So there's offsetting penalties, block in the back, offense and defense. There's a personal foul roughing the kicker that will be accepted against the Panthers. So the two block in the back calls, they did not call a clip. It's going to be a block in the back and also a block in the back on the kicking team. So those will be offsetting. And then we will have 15 yards from the line of scrimmage marked off here for roughing the kicker. That 15 yards will bring the ball to the 30-yard line, but it carries with it an automatic first down for the Red Wolves. So Peyton Pappas gains 15 yards on this penalty, loses about 23 seconds, but at 1:53 remaining to play here in the second quarter, the Red Wolves' drive is still alive. 34-7 the score. Red Wolves up 7-0 early and then give up 34 unanswered. Handoff goes straight over center, Julius Walton. Walton will pick up three and give credit where credit's due once again to the center in the center of that line for Cedar Ridge. As Sam Stewart, Gabe Little, and James Fowler are outweighed heavily by the up men for the Panthers. Marquez Holt, inside handoff, and I'll tell you what, Bryce Wilson saw that coming from before the snap. He saw Marquez Hunter coming inside to take that handoff. He had a little slot in a gap. He shot that gap. He was in the backfield almost before Peyton Pappas was able to give that ball to Marquez Hunter. So after a gain of three on first down by Julius Walton, it will be a loss of eight by Marquez Hunter. Loss of eight by Marquez Hunter on second down. Here's Pappas going to step up in the pocket. He's going to get dropped again. Great defense on that play. Outstanding penetration on the left side of that defensive line. That's going to be Eric Compton and getting in there. 6 foot, 175-pound defensive end. And Jack LeMaster in there to help out as well. There's a late flag as frustration now entering the Red Wolves. Going to be an unsportsmanlike conduct against Cedar Ridge. And that is insult to injury. Turning fourth down and 18 into fourth down and a ton from the 11. Going to be fourth down and 30 from the 11-yard line. First down could be at the 40. So fourth down and 30. 21.9 remaining in this one. Here's where it's dangerous because J.D. Brooks is at his 40-yard line. This guy could run the 40 in about 4.7. If he doesn't have anybody in front of him when he catches this ball, be the quickest touchdown you've seen all year. 21.9 remaining here in the second quarter. Once again, the Red Wolves came out firing, executed the game plan, running well, threw well, keeping that Panthers defense off balance. They were able to gain a turnover and take advantage of the short field when Tay Jones put his first carry on the floor. Were able to go in from 27 yards in eight plays. Peyton Pappas managing the drive. Goes in from 3 yards to put the Red Wolves up 7-0. But since then, a pair of interceptions by Peyton Pappas, numerous errors and penalties by the Red Wolves, and the Panthers have scored 34 unanswered. Here's Brandon Ferris, going to let this run down as far as he possibly can. In fact, he might be able to let the second quarter expire. Yes, he does. So we are at the half here at Orange High School. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Red Wolves jump up on top, 7-0. Appeared to be rolling, and the Orange Panthers said, no, no, there's a reason we're 6-0. We're going to tell you all about it. And they've ripped off 34 straight. We're at halftime. The WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, once again, 34-7, Orange Panthers. We'll be back in 2 minutes.